Amen. Amen. We always praise God for this wonderful day, for us to be here, to help one another, to share with one another our love that we have for them, and also Christ has for us. We definitely want to keep our pastor in prayer and my mom, dad, as they make their journey back home. And we thank God for you all and also the musicians for their service today. If you have your Bibles, and I'm going to try to take my time, but I'm not going to take too much of your time. If you have your Bibles, and you may stand by the reading of God's Word. Ephesians, the sixth chapter. It should be on the, yes, it's on the board. Ephesians, the sixth chapter and the 12th verse. And it reads, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of the world, against the spiritual wickedness in high places." You may be seated. May the Lord bless the readers of his word and doers of his word. My message today is sort of what Minister Brown was talking about and through her prayer. It was a wonderful prayer led by God to say what she had to say. The problem is, my message today is demonic warfare. And the problem is, and as I was on my way here, the problem with us as people, we don't really know that we're in war. We're playing around with the devil, and we're thinking that everything's okay. We can sleep with this woman. We can sleep with this man and think we're okay, and we can do this and do this, and we're thinking it's just a normal fact of our lives. But we're playing with the devil. Our culture today is, as we see it, men and women are alike, are fascinated with the occult. People tend to be wowed by the palm readings, the hypnosis and seances and signs and wonders and economists and black magic and fortune teller and whatever you name it, people love to be wowed by it. And did y'all not know that people will pay big time money or search all over the world for healing? They will search all over the universe for signs and wonders and deliverance and signs and maybe even playing a board game such as the Ouija board. This is the demonic avenue which demonic spirits can be invited or called into worship. Demonic spirit says that if God doesn't answer you right away, they will. They will give you an answer. Demonic spirits can be invited into our lives or into our domain. There's a battle going on between the kingdom of God and the kingdom of darkness. Ever since Satan been kicked out of heaven, he took one third, which is actually 30% of the angelical beings. I wish I had more time because I want to show you all something, but I don't have much time. But Satan is the god of this world. This is his world. Everything is at his hands, and I mean everything. We're talking about suffering. We're talking about pain. We're talking about depression. We're talking about agony. We're talking about disease, sickness, and worry. Everything is at his hands, and he's going to use every tool he can to use it. It's a spiritual warfare. Satan is the god of this world because if it was not so, then why didn't Jesus correct him in the garden? Y'all ready for this? Now listen. Satan said to Jesus, if you bow down, let me go back. When Satan was filled with the, Jesus was filled with the Holy Spirit, the Bible says that he was led into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. The first thing that Satan did was tempt him with food, which is bread. I'm not going to focus on that. I'm going to focus on what Satan said the second time. Satan said to God, to Jesus, which is God, he said to God, if you bow down and worship me, I'll give you all these kingdoms of this earth because it's all been given to me. But see, that's not what Satan was saying. Satan was not saying that Jesus should bow down and worship him. That's not what he was saying. I know it sounds like that, but that's not what he was saying. Because Satan knows that Jesus would not worship him. Not that way. Here's what Satan was saying. Now, y'all follow me. What Satan was saying, since God is the God of heavens and the earth, and that's his domain. Y'all follow me. Since Satan is the God of this earth, and this is his domain. And since Jesus come down from heaven, stands in front of Satan, Satan asks Jesus, he says, okay, since you're here, why don't you join in with me in an alliance together? So what happens is since God is the God of the heaven and the earth, and I'm the God of this earth, I will make peace with heaven. I don't want to interfere with what's going on in heaven, and I don't want you to interfere with what's going on in earth. So Satan says, if you join in with alliance with me, and here's the deal, Jesus, I'll give you all this if you just bow down and worship me. And what he mean by worship, he means that if you will submit to my ruling and the things and the ruling that I have on this earth, can we agree on that? And you imagine Jesus saying, now suppose Jesus said, that's fine, let's go with this deal. Here's what would happen. Anytime that God wants to do something on the earth, he has to get permission through Satan. And anytime that Satan, because all the while in the book of Job, it says it, that God, Satan has to ask permission to do anything in the earth with us or anything on this earth. He has to get God permission. So Satan says, let's do likewise. Why don't we come into alliance, and any time that you all, if you all don't want to interfere with what I'm doing, you got to get permission. If you want to do something on this earth, you got to get my permission. Just as well as I got to get permission from you to know to do anything on this earth. Does that make sense? So Satan says, join in with me in an alliance. See, Satan is not omnipresent. He's not everywhere. And he's not all-knowing. Satan knows some things, but he's not all-knowing. He's witful, he's a liar, he's skillful, and get this, and most of all, he's wordful. And what I mean by wordful, he plays with words. Look what he did to Eve. Did God really say that you shall die if you eat off this tree? He played with words, and he played with words for try to play with words with Jesus. He tried to play the words of Jesus. But see, we're in a battle with the kingdom of God and the kingdom of darkness. If Satan is ever going to set up his kingdom, the first thing a king must do is have a kingdom, right? And if there's a kingdom here, which is the earth, then there must be first, the second thing is there must be a king. Well, this is obvious because Satan didn't have to go very far to find a king because he nominated himself. He didn't have to go very far. The reason why he didn't have to go very far because he was the first one that led the rebellion in heaven. So therefore, they made him king. He was king. Second thing is that if you're going to be a king and you have your kingdom, you first must have an army. And I wish I had more time to go through it. But the truth is that Satan has dominions and he has principalities. He has rulers of dark places. When Satan possessed this, when demonic spirits possessed this man that was endowed with a demon, in Luke the 8th chapter, the Bible says that there was a man who was possessed with a demon. And when Jesus encountered this demon, Jesus said to this demon, now to make a long story short, Jesus said to this demon, what is your name? And the demonic spirit responded back, my name is Legion, for I am many. Now, as I said before, Legion was not his name. That was not his name. Legion is what they have become. They became a legion. So, in other words, the demonic spirit was playing words with Jesus. Because if Jesus would sit there and say and ask each demonic spirit what's their name, this is over 1,000 demons. And the Bible would have read it this way. Jesus wrestled with the demonic spirits all night long. If they were to give all their names. So Jesus didn't have time to go through this. There's no time for this. So what happened was the demonic spirits, they were dumb in one sense, but in one sense, they made it easy for Jesus to cast them out. Because all he had to say was, okay, since you refuse to tell me your name, then what is your title? Legion. So in other words, Legion, get out of him. So it was easy for him to get rid of the demonic spirits. And they were like, oh, gosh.
But they refuse to tell you their name. Demonic spirit refuses to tell you their name. Because if they tell you their name, it actually tells you what their purpose is, what they come to do, and who they come to tempt. If they tell you their name, you have a sense of, you can gain control of the situation. That's why they refuse to tell you their name. And they'd rather be identified as, get this, folks, they'd rather be identified as a headache. They'd rather be identified as a stomach ache or diabetes or cancer. Let me tell y'all something. There is no cancer spirit, so we need to quit saying cancer spirit. There is no cancer spirit. What it is, a demonic spirits have an agenda. The day you were born, a demonic spirit was stuck to you to cause you to have an agenda, to get you, to persuade you, to talk to you, to become a lesbian. That's the whole goal. What do you think about this? And everybody else is doing it. Well, you know, okay, I'll give you a year. Just think about it. They persuade you. And what happens is, they want to say that, oh, you're the doctors say you're psychotic, or we need to put you on medication. But it's a spirit. There's a story about a man. A man had a five-year-old little boy. The father went from village to village to try to find healing for his son. The boy would wake up with headaches and stomach pains. And dad, my head is hurting. Dad, I'm stomach. And the father went from village to village to find a sorcerer or a seancer. So when he found this seancer, he said to the seancer, my boy is sick. Please do whatever you can to help him. And the seancer looked at the boy, laid hands on the boy. All of a sudden, the boy was immediately healed. 3 days later, the boy wakes up again, and this time it's more intense than ever. It's more, the headaches is pounding, and the stomach ache is getting worse and worse. And as the father wakes up out of the bed, goes from village to village to find his seancer again to heal his son, he goes from village to village to village and couldn't find him. All of a sudden, the boy dies. When the father searched the last city, come to find out the boy was dead in the cart. And the father found the seance. He says to the seance, please come outside. My son is dead. Please do whatever you can to heal him. Seance went outside, laid hands on the boy, and told the father this. He said, this time, that boy's soul belongs to the devil. Demonic spirits can work miracles. They can do all signs. I'm not giving them no praise, but I'm just telling you what they do. Because the Bible even says in the book of Genesis that when Moses threw his rod down and it turned into a serpent, Pharaoh's musicians done the same exact same thing. They can do miracles. They can do signs and wonders. They speak supernatural thoughts, and they know our history. They know your childhood. They can reach way back to your childhood and says, when you was a child, your father used to molest you when you were 7 years old. Or your uncle used to molest you when you were 7 years old. Is that true? When you was a child, your mother abandoned you. Your mother showed no love towards you at all and showed favoritism with the kids. And what demonic spirits do is they prey upon your weakness. They can do signs and wonders, and you wonder why some people worship crazy things. The Bible even said, because how it works is that whatever system you want to use, a demonic spirit will play on that. The Bible says in, I believe it's Psalms, the 96th chapter, and I believe the 5th verse, it says that the gods of this world are demonic. And what it is that you wonder why some of these people you go to these third world countries, and this man, or you go to Africa, and this man is worshiping a stick. This man is worshiping a rock. Why? Because somehow a demonic spirit entered into that rock or that stick and done a sign and wonder that this man never saw before. And what a demonic spirit is, they captivate you. And then just to keep you captivated, they will keep on doing signs and wonders just to keep you bound. Keep you captive. to draw you deeper and deeper and deeper into worship. Did you not know that demonic spirits can transfer from one generation to another? You know that? If the father was an alcoholic, the great chance that the demonic spirit will leave the father and go to the son. The mother was a prostitute, there's a great chance that the daughter may be a prostitute. It can leave. The Bible even says that when David killed Uriah, the Bible says that God said the sword will never leave your house. The spirit left, and it traveled from generation to the next generation to the next generation. Y'all not know, there's some conversations that we should not even be having with folks. Because there's a demonic spirit that's behind that conversation. There are some people's homes that we should not even enter in. Because it's a demonic spirit. It's their domain. It's their sanctuary. Do you think they want you there? And you wonder why they go in the other room and shut the door. Why they peep around the corner to see, to hear your conversation. See, there are some demonic spirits that are so witful that they don't want to intervene with a conversation with you, but they'll talk behind your back. It's a spirit. Can I tell y'all how you're dealing with a demonic spirit? Why is it that every time you come around, there's always negative feedback? It's a demonic spirit. Why is it that every time you call their house, the demonic spirit hang up on you, don't want to talk to you, say, oh, here, talk to this person. It's a demonic spirit. One of the first signs of somebody being possessed with a devil, and I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to say, go back. First time somebody is dealing with a demonic spirit is antisocial. They withdraw themselves from everybody else. They don't want to be bothered. You remember when Jesus was teaching on this earth? Every time he came encountered with a demonic spirit, what is the first thing they says? Let us alone. What do we have to do with you? In other words, you have your domain, leave us alone. That's what they say. It's their sanctuary. Sometimes when you have a conversation with a person, they seem nice, but all of a sudden the conversation just shifts. Why can't we get, you know, I'm done with this. I've forgiven you. But why is it all the time that I'm talking about conversation or you talking behind my back, you're always bringing up the past? It's a demonic spirit. Negative thoughts. You get the silent treatment. Demonic spirits love to intervene with your conversation just to stir things up. You may say, I didn't say that. But it's a demonic spirit that said that alter your words to say what you didn't say. Put words in your mouth. You get these stares, and every time you come around, you get headaches, the tension always rises up. You're not welcome in my home. It's their domain. It's the demonic spirits are territorial. That's why people struggle it's hard to counsel people that are on drugs. It's hard to counsel people that have been so long been prostituted. Every time you talk to them, they shun you off. Demonic spirit. Demonic spirits, they write songs. They play music. They write books. And their books turn into movies. Now listen to this. The writer William Peter Blaney wrote a novel in 1971 called The Exodus. This book turned into a movie. This book was inspired by a 14-year-old boy named Ronald Huckaber, who was admitted in a Georgetown hospital in 1948, who was treated there for severe headaches, fits, and urinary disorder. Later on, they found out that it was a demonic spirit behind it. And come to find out, they were asking her, how was this boy possessed with his demonic spirit? And come to find out, his aunt actually introduced him to the Ouija board. And the demonic spirit stuck with him. And then they left Georgetown, and get this, they left Georgetown and came here they traveled from all the way to Georgetown to St. Louis, Missouri, thinking that they'd get away from the spirit, but it followed them. The writer William Blaney said, and he said this in his book, in his novel, he said he would never mess with the Ouija board again. Taylor Caldwell wrote several books. She said in one of her books, she didn't know where the inspiration was coming from. She wrote a book called The Dialogues with the Devil. It sounds Christian, but it's actually demonic spirit that was actually, because she said in her book, and I read her book, she said in her book, she felt and heard demonic spirits talking to her. And the reason why they were talking to her, because she submitted to them. She opened the door. And they influenced her to write what? More books. And to have potential followers, potential readers. There's other demonic movies such as, y'all know the movie Craft? The Omen. And there's a book called Harry Potter. Now, I'm not calling the writer a demonic spirit, but what I'm saying, and now listen to what I'm saying. She wrote this book, and she said that her first book, she wrote it, when she wrote it, it was actually rejected by several different publishers. And when she changed the name, somehow it got published. And what I'm saying is that Satan and his demonic spirits will keep on going and going until you get that album platinum, until that book gets written. They will keep on going and going, urging you on and on to write that song, to make that movie. There's a lady by the name of Jane Roberts. When she was possessed with a demonic spirit, this voice would speak. And it's the voice of Seth, which is the demonic spirit. She wrote this book. Jane Roberts said in her book that when she wrote this book, that her facial expression actually changed. It did. And her voice would deepen. Now, you're talking about, imagine a lady, the voice of a lady is high pitched, and a voice of a demonic spirit is deep. And he starts speaking, and this demonic spirit named Seth wrote over 2,000 pages. And she wrote this book called Seth Speaks, and she dedicated this book to a demonic spirit. She did. She wrote other books too, but And she says in her book how she encountered this demonic spirit. When she was doing this seance, and she was a sort of a medium. When she was doing this seance, and they were holding hands, and she said that when they done this seance, they asked for a spirit to speak. And the first spirit that spoke was a voice of Seth. And ever since then, he kept on talking. And he wouldn't shut up. And not only that, how you could tell that she was demonic, possessed with a demonic spirit? When she had followers, and she did have her gatherings, when she had followers, they would actually hide things. They put things in a bag and put it behind their back, and then they would ask what is in the bag. And the demonic spirit told them exactly what it is. And not only that, but the demonic spirit, which is the voice of Seth, told people about their past. And nobody even knew about it but that person. Demonic spirit. He is there to captivate you. Now, he'll give you an answer. I ain't saying he's going to give you the truth. He'll give you the answer. See, God has no reason to lie. God has no reason to deceive anyone. Because every word that comes out of God's mouth is true. Demonic spirits can't tell the truth. They can, but if they tell you the truth, it's half of the truth. It is. Because the more lies they tell, the more lies they tell half of the truth, the more less truth that you hear. And then the more lies you hear, the more the lies appears to be a truth. Then when someone's come along and tell you the truth, then it appears to be a lie. See, years ago, the devil was against the church. He was. In the book of Acts, it says that Paul would come in, and that when people hear about Paul, they scatter. They run. But in other words, they actually established the church because they scattered them about. But now, Satan is for the church. He's joined the church. Now you have pastors and leaders teaching homosexuality is okay. He's joined the church. He's not trying to fight against you. He's not.
false religion and teaching other doctrine, the less truth they tell, the more the lies appears to be true. The Bible says in the book of Revelation, the 22nd chapter, 19th verse, you know this by well, you should know it by heart. It says, don't add anything to it, and surely don't take anything away from it. Because if you tell half of a lie, it's a lie. The truth determines everything. Truth is, God's word is unchangeable. You can't update it. You can't change it. It's without error. It's without altercation. It don't need your input at all. The Bible is an offense in itself, so it don't need my input at all. All I need to do is just declare it and speak it. Did you not know that when you speak the word of God, demonic spirits hear that? So when we speak holiness. We speak righteousness. We speak the authority of God. When we speak, the captives are set free. When we speak the word of God. When we speak, spells are broken. Bondage is broken. The chains are broken. When we say us is what they say, it has nothing at all to do with what we say overrides what they say. We have authority. We have authority over the devil and his works. See, Jesus, when Jesus came, he didn't need our suggestions. He didn't need our opinions. Because the Bible, Jesus never quoted from the scribes. He never quoted from the rabbis and the Pharisees. When he spoke of himself. And when he spoke, demonic spirits trembled. Because it's the truth. The Bible says that hell was prepared for Satan and his demonic spirits. They know that their time is short. Matthew, the 28th chapter and 18th verse says, and Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power hath been given unto me in heaven and earth. And John the Baptist had it right. John the Baptist, when he saw Jesus, said, behold, the Lamb of God who come to take away the sins of the world. And what he was meaning is that he come to set the captives free. He come to take the kingdom of Satan that Satan has set up on this earth to tear down their kingdom. And it works. That's why Satan was trying to stop him. Hey, let's have this alliance. I won't interfere with heaven. As long as you don't interfere with me, let's have this alliance. He didn't want him to go to the cross. He's come to take it by force. 1 John, the 3rd chapter and 8th verse says, he that committeth sin is of the devil. For the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose, the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. The battle is on. The battle has begun. When Jesus shows up, all the works of Satan has been exposed. Because y'all ever notice that in the Old Testament, it talks nothing at all about demonic spirits. Nothing at all. All of a sudden, when Jesus comes along, Jesus was the first one that started casting out demonic spirits. People didn't know what to do. Because in the Old Testament, you know what they did when someone was possessed with a demonic spirit? They stoned him to death. That's the only way you can get rid of it. They didn't know what to do. Now all of a sudden, Jesus comes along, started casting, and then when he showed his disciples, says, here's what you do. And then one man came back and says, somehow your disciples couldn't cast them out. They don't know what they're doing. And Jesus looked at him and said, oh, ye a little faith. They didn't know. Demonic spirits, they're in constant pain. They are. Now you may say, they are in constant pain. And they're suffering because they're watching the hourglass. They're watching the time. Any of y'all ever have kids? Most of us have kids. And somehow I know the pastor's son, when he gets in trouble, he looks at you first. And then before he starts doing it, he keeps doing his dirt. And he looks at you because he don't want to get in trouble. He don't want to get a spanking. He don't want to get caught. So the demonic spirits work the same way. They're doing their dirt, but they're also watching the hourglass because they know their time is short. And if they get caught, judgment has come. That's why they said, screaming out to Jesus, have you come to torment us before our time? They know their time is short. Let me close by saying this. No, but I'm not. Let me say one more point, and I'm going to be out y'all way. Do you know what scares the demonic spirits? It's the preaching of the gospel. Jesus quoted nothing of himself. That's why he says, not my will, but thy will. He speaks of himself. See, if we speak in authority be given unto us, the kingdom of darkness is shattered. We destroy the works. We cast demons and spirits out. We silence them. We loose the chains. We free the captives, and we deliver people from bondage. We win the battle over sickness. We win the battle over disease. When we preach the word of God, we cause the demonic spirits to panic. They move out of the way. They scream, and they tell us to stop speaking the word of God, because all power has been delivered unto us. Now, if you have your Bibles, look at, this is my last verse, and I'm going to close by this. Ephesians, the 6th chapter and the 12th verse. But look at the 13th verse. The 13th verse says, "For we take on the full armor of God, that we may be able to withstand within the evil days." That all we do, we have done, is stand. We take on the full armor of God. We're in a battle. Most of us don't know we're in a battle. So Jesus come to destroy the works of Satan, to tear down his kingdom and his works. We have to let people know that. There's a lady on my job, and I'm going to say this, and I'm going to close in prayer. There's a lady on my job. She sees a shrink once or twice a month. And I asked her, I said, "You know, you seem pretty normal to me. I don't see nothing wrong with you." She said, "Michael, I just think there's something wrong with me." I said, "No, I don't." I said, "You're pretty normal." And I talked to her husband, who came up to the job one day. He said, "Michael, yes, she thinks there's something's wrong with her." But what it is that the demonic spirit has gotten her bound. He captivated her, thinking that something's wrong with her. Let us pray. Eternal God, Lord, we just thank you for allowing us to preach the word of God, to set the captives free. Those who are in bondage, Father, knowing the truth sets them free. Oh, Father, you come right now. We speak the word of God over people's lives, Father. The drug addict, the prostitute, the husband that's cheating on his wife, the wife that's cheating on her husband, the children that are lost. And, oh, Father, we lift them up towards you, and we break that chain. We break the demonic spirit. We break every works of Satan today, Father. We cast out all his works and his name, all his demonic spirit. We cast them back out into the pits where they came from. Father, in the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Jesus, blessed Savior, is worthy. May we all stand, please.